Let's open our Bibles. Thank you, Jesus. He's so wonderful to us. And I sure appreciate you. You encourage me in the truth, and I thank the Lord for the little handful he gives us. It's wonderful. And I believe he's coming soon. And it will be a glory to meet him in the air with you. I believe it. Hallelujah. Now, let's get into Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading from the fifth verse. And some thoughts that continue on a little bit and expand from this morning. In Hebrews 12, we'll begin reading verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. How many things spring to your heart as you read that? Amen. You raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm right there. Well, sons, that's where you're at because your father loves you. And he chastens you with everything he has. And thanks be to God that we've endured the chastening. Because think of how he chastens and what we know he's chastening us for. The prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amazing. But I read this, or I should say the Spirit read it to me the other day. And put in my heart, you know, it's not easy to grow up. It's not. And I mean, not even in the natural is it easy to grow up. But I was thinking in my life and thinking about my daddy so much this week again. It was a benefit to me in growing up that I was the youngest in my household. And in that benefit, I got to see and I got to hear instruction over and over and over. And I'm talking about the instruction, praise God, to four of my siblings that went before me. I got to hear and I got to see, and then I got to hear and I got to see over and over when it was my turn. So here I was, and they didn't let me out of the house too much, so I mean, I was in it. And I remember, like the commercial says, you want to get away? I was like, man, I know Jim's getting it or whatever it was, but man, I feel like I'm getting some of that too, and I don't think I want to be here or something, you know. But I'm being very sincere that God blessed my life and how graced I was. This word chastening, it means training and education. Training and education. And I thank the Lord that I was able to receive that training and education over and over and over and over. And that is just what we have here. And I love how it says that our natural fathers did it for their own pleasure. And they only did it for a few days. I get what that means, but I love this with God. He does it for a lifetime. And God's doing it for eternity. And I think of how amazing this is. This training and education, this teaching and refining, brothers and sisters, that goes on in our lives, it does not cease. The instruction for a full joy is not going to be finished till our last breath. Amen. He tells us to redeem the time, but let me tell you something. He's on it moment by moment. He is on it as he encourages and deals with our heart. It's always. That's why he asks us to enter into it. See, God loves the fellowship with his sons. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We know that. We know that this will, that never ends. You know, even if I make my bed in hell, as David said, he's there with me. I tried to shake him. You ain't going to shake him. It ain't going to happen. But what he wants that fellowship. He loves and he'll always think of you because that's who God is. But he wants you thinking of him. He wants you to sit down and talk to him and just rejoice and thank him. And truly, as he did with Moses, face to face as a friend. And how much more does God bring us into? Amen. With what he's shown us in truth, the conversations that we can have with the Lord. I get some letters that are pretty wonderful, emails they call them, from some sisters that mainly, and then some brothers, that say they've really had some good conversations with their bridegroom. Isn't that something? That's fellowship. And, you know, it's sweet as we go along in Jesus' way, as God has graced us to have families. And I now sit down at a table. And today I had my two sons. And then we've had someone join us, a fiance. Oh my. And you know, truly, now they're not here, so I can say this about them. But she can even bring me more joy than even my sons. I can't tell you why, except it's her love. And I'm talking about, again, in type and shadow and that, but love for my son, love for my family, but most of all, love for my Lord. And how it increases everything. And the conversations we get to have. I see many that are ahead of me on those things. I see my sweet cousin Ray. And I don't mean to mark him out, but I do. I've marked him. Mark my sister. They rise up and they call you blessed, honey. And I thank God. And I rejoice and I give thanks. The fellowship that I've seen amongst the parents. Hard times too. And there's some difficult times going on with different ones. And I know that. I've had them too. And you know what? Till he finishes my faith, I'm going to have them too. They come in all different dimensions. As that saying goes, I'll tell you what. He that's loved much, you understand, you hurt much. But I thank God for this encouragement that he gives us. And, you know, this refining fire, as we say, it just doesn't end until we see him face to face. But all the benefits that are towards us, brothers and sisters, as we even read here, partakers of his holiness. You know, we hear of ruling and reigning, not just here, we believe it. Ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. To be glorified together with him. But then partakers again, that shared of his holiness. That wonderful set apart. Praise be to God, out from among the camp, holiness with him. Telling you, I don't want to get too drifting off here, or we might never come back. But it's for our profit. We are told to endure, and if we endure by the grace of God, we will be nothing but the mature sons of God. Now, honey, you're going to have to stop talking. You're bothering. Now, the chastening results in nothing else but complete spiritual perfection. That's it. That's all it can result in. His chastening will not destroy your life. His chastening will not take you beyond what you can bear. His chastening has one thing. One thing. praise God, that's going to be. And it's going to result, if we'll take it and endure, it will be the mature sons of God ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. Fully finished sons of God, the bride for Jesus. I love, though, that even though it's all the same one thing, the way that it shines through us, every one of us is different. Serious, you know how it is. What he has us doing in life. The after effects is the Lord has always encouraged my heart. We get so focused in what we're doing as opposed to just rejoicing, thanking him, and yielding. And then whatever the after effect is, it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. It will be. When we embrace that kind of love, it always takes me back to when Polly and I first got married. You know, she had a pretty nice deal. Not with me, but before me. She had a good house, nice car, all of these different things, and, you know, good meals and all of that. But I don't know. Call her crazy. She had me. So it didn't matter that we had a bunch of junky furniture and a house that was about as big as the garage, that the house that she came out of, because it was a little teeny house. But we were in love, and it didn't matter. It had it all. You could have tried to give me anything else, but I wanted her. Isn't that something? Just like, you know, these kings and different ones, they could have, and in a sense, any woman they could want, and any woman they could have, I should say. And yet, no, I want that one. It's just that one. And I thank the Lord how he loves us. Isn't that something? See, he saw that pattern. He saw the masterpiece. And he fell in love. And then in that plan of his masterpiece, he gave his life. The plan of God for his life to be in us, to grow into that masterpiece. Every provision to yield to the purpose of that masterpiece. And then can you imagine the very power of God to come and to perform it in us? How wonderful. That is that. That is that love. That is that adoration that he cannot deny himself. He can't deny himself. He's coming. And you've heard that. He's coming like a freight train. No, he's coming like a whirlwind. And he's coming. And that trump could come tonight. But you think of this. This is something that's very ignored, is what we're reading here in the Word of God. See, it comes the same way as receiving the instruction from a loving, wise parent. They're not just going to tell you one time. Now, they'll tell you one time and here comes the switch. But you know that even as parents. Even after that switch, you're going to tell them again, and you're going to tell them again and again and again. And I always remember one time I tell my dad, well, when are you going to stop telling me? Never. Or maybe till you get it. And then after you get it, I'll remind you again. Amen? Because why? Because he loved me. And I always appreciate that because your parents truly love you beyond and are more for you. And I talk to kids often. Right parents, don't get me wrong, especially godly parents. They love you and are more for you than probably anybody will ever, ever be in your life. Amen. And to receive that, praise God, then things really begin to happen in life. How much more so our Heavenly Father? Now that even supersedes that. There's nothing but good. I will withhold nothing good from you. Isn't that amazing? I'm on your side. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are highly favored. Think of all these things that he continues to tell us. Oh Lord, give me an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise God. But I love this because, see, a wise and loving parent will tell you over and over. It's just like a great athlete. I saw some on TV today. They were talking about those golfers. You know, they're playing that U.S. Open. Hitting millions of golf balls. Not thousands, but millions of golf balls. Bang, bang, bang. Well, you know why they do it over and over? Because they want to win. And they do that again for a corruptible crown. Something that is just gone. I mean, you don't even guys that know golf history. Okay, tell me who won the U.S. Open 14 years ago. Let's take the British Open 23 years ago. You see what I'm saying? Well, for the moment, it was just grand. This is a moment that will never end. It's a moment that will go on, and it will never cease, and it will only increase in the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness. Yeah? That's what I say. No, you can't imagine what you're stepping into. But yea, we can know the deep things of God by the Spirit, and that is His love. So, the only way that we're going to endure this training, similar to those athletes, is you got to have a vision of winning, the value of winning. But what is the vision of winning? Who is that that we run to win? It has to be the lover of your soul. Amen. The lover of your soul. That's when your life, and David, you think about someone so close to And I thank God for his heart. But what type of bridal love that brother encourages us with? It's a type and a shadow. Obviously, that bridal love wasn't for David. But where he said he panted after the Lord. I mean, he just, that was it. There wasn't anything else. And just that desire. As he would sit there and the Spirit would encourage his heart that there isn't anything more I desire. My ears to hear, my lips to praise, everything about his hands to lift, everything. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Every fiber of his being. And oh, I'll tell you what, it made him feel so good, didn't it? Praise God. But it's the love of the truth. And I love how the Word of God says it, truth in love. The love of His love for me, listen to that, the love of His love for me causes me to submit willingly for Him to will and to do of His good pleasure. The love of His love for me allows Him to finish, complete the good work which He's begun. Amen. Praise God. Now, we spoke a little bit about this earlier today, but an unruly, unappreciative youth does not listen to their parents. We've all been there. But that's the problem. We're rebelling, acting up. Yes. And that unappreciative youth does not listen to their parents or the value of those words. But those that begin to perfectly love their parents listen, adhere. They love and honor the words that they speak. Yes, you honor whom you love. Amen. And I thank God. I am grateful to the Lord. You listen and put into action into your life the words of the ones you esteem. Amen. Heed, get wisdom. Get understanding. Get that knowledge. Go after those things. I always am thankful. My father always encouraged to get around those that you can learn from. Even as a young person, everybody, and I understand, we need monies and things, but I'm talking about young kids, you know, and their programs that they have now in college. You know, well, I got to make sure I make $10 or $15 an hour or whatever it'll be. No, you go find a place where you're going to learn something. Go learn something. And matter of fact, you should be paying them that they teach you something. They said, well, Dad, don't say that. If they're going to pay me and teach me too, that's a good thing. But it's the truth that you get out there and learn. But see, if you are in love with the Lord, you'll go with the truth. That's the evidence. If you're in love with the Lord, you'll go with the truth. because there'll be nothing else that'll be. There might be things that, you know, there's people that love the Lord. And there's a time in life, I loved the Lord. But I wasn't going to let it inconvenience what I love to do. Or what I love to be around. Or how I love to hear something. Or who I love to be with. But when I fell in love with the Lord, it all changed. It all became the truth. It became that truth in love. And it wasn't something that I had to make myself do. It's something I wanted to do. Huh? My goodness. I fell in love so much, I even wanted to go to Texas. So, let's get back with it. But that's the difference between a wise son and an unwise son. One is mature because they heeded, they grew up into the life of Christ, they endured the chastening and appreciated it, and told the Lord, thank you that you stopped me from killing myself, from destroying myself. That, Lord, I thought you were taking something from my life as a spoiled or ignorant child, and yet you are saving my life, increasing my life. That's all he can do. That's all he can do. He will withhold nothing good from you. And how many times do we go to God and tell him what we need? It's the truth. Now, he puts those needs in our life to ask him for. But how about, but Lord, have your way. I'm here at this situation. I'm here at this point. Lord, it's evident that I see. And I'll tell you what, man. I've called out to God before. And I'm talking about immediate calling. Lord, I need this to be done. I want it to be your will. But I'm aching. I'm hurting. And I need this to be done. I need this. I need this mountain to go away. And I've seen him do it. I've had the enemy say, oh, you're weak. You won't endure. I said, no, I know who's able. And I'm getting to the end of this thing. And I got to call out to God. But the ones that rebel in whatever way of unbelief, it's because they don't want to hear the instruction. They don't want that narrow way that leads to life. See, wide is that way, that gate of destruction. But there's so few that will find and go after that narrow way of life. And it's subtle how the enemy does it, doesn't he? Everything about the enemy is just a compromise. It's always a compromise. Yeah. You think about Samson. There were those sweet parents, and they loved him. But I never want to say to my child, as they did, won't any of the women here of Israel, or our women here, won't they satisfy you? I don't want to say that to my sons. By the grace of God, I'd want to say, you need to fall in love with the Lord and fall in love with someone that has fallen in love with Jesus. Now, if they choose otherwise, by the grace of God, I can thank him by his grace I stood. But the enemy's got a lot of lies. That's all he's got. And they're endless. And they're lies of compromise to a Christian. They'll get you to find what's comfortable to you. When you begin to feel comfortable, I really would hit your knees. The Word of God says it's like an eagle that stirs over her nest. Let me tell you something. If you know about that eagle and stirring over nest, That ain't a comfortable time for them little chicks. It's death-defying time. You're getting out of the nest, baby, and you're going to fly. Because that's what you're built for. Isn't that something? See, once again, you weren't born to be kings. You're born kings. Amen. Everything. And yet here we are. We're just so shooting under the bar of what he has. But he has a way. He's going to launch you out. And if you ever seen those chicks, is that mama eagle just drops out from them. Flailing and flying and half gainers and triple flips. Brother Ty knows they hit the stall buffet. And here they go. It's inevitable they're going to die. But there's the everlasting arms. Bam. Amen. So, to the honorable sons, the instruction and wisdom of the Word of God is more precious than gold or silver. There's nothing sweeter to the lips. And by the grace of God, if we adhere, we reap the wealth of what everybody's seemingly after, the meaning of your life. See, I don't want just to know the meaning of life. I want to know the meaning of my life. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's that personal. And see, that's just it here. With our Father, praise God, in this precious word that he has given, his Son, it must be heard over and over and over and over. It must be listened to. And in falling in love, that's when you'll obey. You don't obey first. It's not in you to obey. It's not. But there's something about love that will cause you to obey. And willingly obey. And gladly obey. And thanking the Lord. Praise God that you're walking in the way. You're walking in the light. How exciting. And especially in this time, in this age, in this day. How unruly. You talk about ones that are out to devour. You can't deny it. People have gone way beyond turkeys pecking each other. They're beasts. And they're devouring each other right now. But he said that's the time it would be. So, all the gain to us, as it says, for our profit, hallelujah, the word of God, nothing can be compared. Not just riches for someday, brothers and sisters. But what is peace and joy and rest worth to you? It's everything. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I go to bed. And I thank God I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it keeps my heart and it keeps my mind. And I rest. I mean, you talk about an anxious fella. I'm built for anxiousness. I'm totally built for worrying. I was born the son of John Worry Odorcio. If there wasn't anything to worry about, he would find it, wouldn't he, Mom? And he would. But I'm going to tell you, I'm getting so occupied anymore. I don't got time to. I don't think about worrying too much anymore. And it's all to his praise. Because I know, oh, that would be everything that I would do moment to moment. But that joy, that peace, that rest right now. Right now. And all I can say is, by the grace of God, Lord, let me endure the chastening. Enlighten my eyes to see more and more all the exceeding great and precious promises that are mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your grace is letting me live all your benefits toward me. Isn't that wonderful? Not some. Not a few. All. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.